simple subject is to violate the law of separation, is it just disobedience? To violate the laws of separation, is it just disobedience? We're going to answer that question tonight as we look at the Bible and what the Bible says, and let's pray. Lord, pray that you will bless the Word of God tonight. We need your Holy Spirit to be our teacher. Lord, these are not mere intellectual truths. These are eternal truths. These are truths that make the difference in every family, in every church, and been given by you. And may we value them and honor them in the same way that you do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to look at some verses in the Bible that talk about the law of separation. And we're going to take a look at them. Then we're going to go on from there. But notice one of the famous verses in the Bible about separation is Psalm number 1. So if you can, turn your Bible to Psalm number 1. Of course, Psalm number 1 is the introduction to the book of Psalms. It's the introduction to the worship of God. It really gives us the condition for singing these songs, as well as certainly it would give us the condition for anyone who does sing to the Lord and worship Him. And so this is a very important psalm, Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Sounds to me like the law of separation. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And of course, the separation always has an opposite. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 22, you find one of the famous laws of separation in the Bible. It's one that's repeated in the New Testament. And there are many verses in Deuteronomy about separation, about not inquiring into the gods of the land, not even asking questions about their wicked worship, of having nothing to do with their heathen practices, etc. But we'll read this once, Deuteronomy 22, 9 through 11. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Now the next verse is interesting. Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. And of course, that's a positive. And every Jewish person was to wear blue on their fringes to show that they were a people that belonged to God. And it's interesting how you have the positive and the negative. Let's go to some New Testament verses about separation. We'll start with 2 Corinthians chapter 6, because that one is the one we is directly related to Deuteronomy. We probably should go back to Deuteronomy a little bit and talk about it, because those are some pretty essential issues there. For 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, be not, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Always we have the statement of the law, come out from among them and be separate. Then we have the positive, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you. And it's talking about, you know, if you're not separated, you're defiling your separation with God. But if you are separated, now you have the opportunity to have intimate fellowship with God. What's it saying? You can't have intimate fellowship with God if you're violating the law of separation. Despite what all the new evangelicals say about their mush and their gush, the Bible says something completely different. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And a famous verse in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Well, this kind of tells us that lack of separation is a lot more than just disobedience, isn't it? It says evil communications, not following the Bible law of separation, has an effect. Negative effect, a real effect. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Is disobedience to the law of separation just disobedience, or is it far more than that? Let's go to a couple other places. Separation, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we'll look at two verses here. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6 and 10. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. And not after the tradition or the teaching which he received of ourselves. Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly. In other words, disobeys the commandments of God. Verse number 10 gives us a specific example. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he not eat. If they would not work, that's a good one for lazy ones. You know, God's solution for lazy people, don't let them eat. They'll get hungry. But verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. You know, people have too much time on their hands, they get into trouble. And that's what happened. And so what he said, withdraw yourselves from those kind of people. They don't work. They don't work enough. They have too much time on their hand. They're busybodies. They cause trouble. Don't have anything to do with them. To separate from them. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse that is well known, verse 11. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So, don't have any fellowship, don't have common ground with them. Don't be participating in it. Don't be around that. It says, don't fellowship with them. In fact, it says, reprove them. You know, the word reprove is the word convict. Translate it, and we would get it. And when we think of conviction, you know, it's the word reprove. And it tells us a negative and a positive. Have no fellowship. Instead, your life should show so specifically clear where you stand that it's a conviction. Okay? Well, that's the law of separation. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Didn't say some, doesn't he? He says no. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Now, obviously, there are other verses in the Bible that we aren't going to look at, but this is a verse on separation. Then said Jesus unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The Pharisees and Sadducees were the religious leaders of the day. They were the teachers of the Jewish religion. Okay? They opposed the Lord Jesus Christ. They opposed his teaching. They opposed him. And yet they were the authorities of truth, so to speak. And in verse number 12, it says, then understood they how that he bare them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The leaven of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And so he says, need to be aware of that. And leaven is a picture of sin, the insidious, invisible, evil penetration and permeation of sin. And in this case, that sin is false teaching. False teaching. And it gives us an obvious truth. You better separate from it. Otherwise, it will leaven you. And you know, so separation in the Bible is not merely a law that is sin when you disobey it. It is a law that has, the violation of it, has very serious consequences. Not only does it have the consequence of being sin, disobedience of God, but it has the consequence that goes far beyond that, the destructive consequence, the Bible tells us, happen in churches, in people, in families that do not obey God and the law of separation. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. We live in a day, everybody thinks, oh, no problem, I can handle that. No, you can't. Just go out there and grab those electric lines out there and see if you can handle it. Nobody can handle sin. Sin's always bigger than man. God in His love has given us the Word. And one of those doctrines in the Bible is the doctrine of separation. Now, we don't have hours to preach lots of sermons, but let me remind you that the number one reason for the failure of the people of God, as taught in the Bible, Old Testament, the number one reason for their failure was the disobedience in the area of separation. Number one reason for the failure and the judgment of the people of God. You read about it. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, minor prophets. Always, number one, sin. The sin of lack of separation. Not only did that sin destroy them, but God had to eventually judge them. One sin. And you know what? I call the doctrine of separation the lost doctrine of the Bible. It's the lost doctrine of the Bible. Now, if what I just said is true, I believe it is true, that the number one reason that the people of God failed in the Old Testament was the lack of practice, the doctrine of separation. Wouldn't you think that would be one of the number one Bible studies that you're going to buy online? Don't you think that's going to be the number one preacher you're going to hear on the radio? Aren't you going to think that that's going to be right at the top of the list? No. Bottom of the list. Bottom of the list. That's just the way it is. I don't know if I have heard a national radio preacher speak on the doctrine of separation. Now you hear local preachers preaching on it. And I'd say VCY are some of the more conservative ones. When's the last time, tell me, the last time you heard them preach a message on the law of separation? The most neglected doctrine of the day. Now, the Bible was written for our Old Testament gives us all sorts of examples of how this works. And we're going to look at the life of a famous, I'm going to call him a famous evangelistic, missionary-minded, revival-minded king. His name was Jehoshaphat. So, if you'll turn with me in your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Now, Jehoshaphat was a good man. And he loved the Lord. And he was interested in spreading the word of God. Let's read a little bit about Jehoshaphat. It says, 2 Chronicles 17, and Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead. And he strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, and yet set garrisons in the land of Judah, in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa had, his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Baal, but he sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. Notice, it says in verse 7, and in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail and Obadiah and Zechariah and Nethaneel and of Micaiah to teach in the cities of Judah. Boy, send out evangelists. Amen. Teach the Bible. And with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebediah, Ashiel, Shemiramoth, and all of these great people. Verse 9. You were just looking to see how I butcher those names. I just didn't want to give you any further pleasure. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. And they went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah. So they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Man, isn't this something? He sent out this evangelist. He sent out these teachers. He sent out the Levites. They're spreading the word of God. He is excited about God. Preaching stations here, preaching stations there. Chapter 18, verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance. And he joined affinity with Ahab. He joined affinity with Ahab? What? He joined affinity with Ahab? What about this man? This wicked man, Ahab, whose wife was Jezebel. And not only did Ahab follow the synchristic worship of Jeroboam, you know what I mean? The calves of Dan and Bethel. You know? He combined devil worship and put the name of God on it. Made some golden calves and said to Israel, here's Jehovah. Wow. That's about as bad as you can get, isn't it? That's almost like Christian rock. You know what I mean? There's no such thing as Christian rock. There's Satan's rock, but there's no such thing as Christian rock. It's called syncretism. Take the devil's worship, put God's name on it, and that's what northern Israel did. But worse than that, Ahab married Jezebel, and Jezebel, through her,
He caused the nation to worship Baal. Baal. Perverted, wicked, godless, immoral, satanic worship. God Baal. Wow. He joined affinity with Ahab. You know what that's called? Violation of the law of separation. And you know, he got warned about it. 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 2. And Jehoshaphat, the son, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him. And he said to King Jehoshaphat, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Well, I'm ahead of myself here. Got a couple reference here is mixed up. Verse 35. And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodava of Me-Reshath, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, "Because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works, and the ships are broken, and they were not able to go to Tarshish." Now, let's see. So here's Jehoshaphat. Ahab was unsaved. He was a Jew, but he was unsaved. He'd say, "Oh, I guess he was family. That's okay. Violate the Bible because he's a friend of the family. Or he's royalty." You know, here he's sending out evangelists. But he's good friends with the king of Israel, who tried to find every prophet he could and kill him. Good friends. Working together. See what kind of effect it had on his family. Chapter 21 of 2 Chronicles. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried in his fathers with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. And he had the brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariah, Michael, Shephatiah. These were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave unto them great gifts of silver and gold and precious things with fenced cities in Judah, but the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was his firstborn. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, and divers also the princes of Israel. Where did he learn that kind of stuff from? Where did he get that kind of thinking? Boy, that's what the heathen kings did, isn't it? They get to power, they'd kill all their brothers, all their sisters, anybody that would blink an eye at them, they're just going to eliminate them. Sounds like kind of something Ahab would do. Something sounds like Jezebel would do. You know what I mean? Where'd he get that kind of thinking from? His dad violated the law of separation. Oh, his dad, he loved the Lord. He passed out tracts. He witnessed. He sent out evangelists. He loved the Lord. But he violated the law of separation. And the Bible tells us, verse 5, and Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. How's that? He was king of Judah. The kings of Israel, they followed the golden calves and Jeroboam. How'd that happen? I mean, his dad was an evangelist. His dad was all about seeing people saved. How'd that happen? His son walks in the ways of the kings of Israel. Oh, how'd that happen? The consequence of violating the law of separation. You see, not separating is not disobedience. It also has serious consequences. And notice, and he did as the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. Ho, 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 ho. The daughter of Ahab. Hey, there's a good-looking girl. Look at her. I'm sure she dressed real modestly. I'm sure she had nice long dresses on. No. Not at all. She's Ahab's daughter. Jezebel's daughter. Oh, Jezebel's daughter. He married her. You know why? Because his dad disobeyed the law of separation. And there's consequences. Lasting consequences. Not only sin, lasting consequences. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now look at verse 11. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah. High places. Oh, what do you mean? High places. Oh, in other words, he made these altars on the mountains. You're supposed to worship at Jerusalem. And no. He made these high places. False worship centers. And he compelled the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication. He compelled them. His dad sending out evangelists. Hey, come on, follow the Lord. Make the right choice. His son, he says, you forget this Jesus stuff. You forget this Jehovah stuff. In fact, you stop it. That's the end of that stuff. And from now on, you're worshiping Baal at these mountains. You know why? Because his dad disobeyed the law of separation. That's why. You see, violating the law of separation is not only sin. Not only disobeying what the Bible says and God says, it has consequences far beyond anybody knows. Just like any other sin. It's the number one sin in the Old Testament. Destroyed the nation of Israel. Violation of the law of separation. You know, all the good that Jehoshaphat did was undone. All the good he spent his whole life doing, how long did it get taken to get it undone? Just months, right? Now think about it. Jehoram's son was wicked. His name was Ahaziah. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He was wicked. And you know, Jehu, he went to visit his cousin king up there in Samaria. And Jehu, he said, oh, here we go. Here's some of the seed of Ahab. And he slew him. And then guess who becomes queen of Israel, of Judah? The wicked Athaliah. The wicked Athaliah. Jezebel's daughter became the queen of Judah. Can you imagine that? The wicked, wicked daughter of Jezebel became the queen. What'd she do? First thing she did, she said, where's the royal seed? Let's kill them all. And Jehoiada took the little baby, Joash, hid him from wicked Athaliah. We have three generations of wickedness permeating, ruling in southern Israel, and Judah. You know why? Because violating the law of separation is not only sin, it has huge, huge spiritual consequences. And you know what? Jehoshaphat, he probably didn't figure it was that bad. He didn't think it was that bad. He's like most people today. I can handle it. No problem. It'll work out. The Lord knows I love him. The Lord knows that I spread his word. Had no idea that everything he did would be undone. Not only undone, but completely done the opposite way, with the compelling of the people to worship Baal. You know what? Violating the law of separation, whether it has to do with the sins of the world, whether it has to do with fellowship with unbelief and wrong doctrine, whether it is following, fellowshipping with disobedient believers, Christians who are disobeying God, claim to be saved but they're disobeying God and you don't separate from them like the Bible says, whether it is the simple principle of letting your children play with the wrong children. Doesn't matter. Law of separation. It's not only a sin, but it has consequences far more and far greater and far long lasting than almost anybody comprehends. The Bible makes it so clear. Makes it so clear. Violating this doctrine is not harmless. It's not merely the difference between the fundamentalists and the new evangelicals. You see, new evangelicals don't believe in the law of separation. They're Christians, but they're disobedient from the Bible. Fundamentalists are supposed to be people who believe the Bible and therefore believe the law of separation. And you know what? If you look at history, when the fundamentalists separated from the new evangelicals, there was revival. There was a moving of God in America in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. That is amazing. And it was rooted in the doctrine of separation. They finally, God's people finally got the oomph to say that's enough of this compromise. We're going to separate from the denominations. We're going to separate from the big money. We're going to separate from the big boys. We're going to pay the price to obey God. You know, same thing happened to Russia. Georgie Vince and his friends. They said, you know what? Communist government says we can't teach our kids the Bible. Communist government says we can't take our kids to church. Communist government tells us what we can preach and what we can't preach. And if we don't follow them, our kids can't go to school. They can't go to the university. We're going to get persecuted. It's going to be rough. And they said, hey! Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and unto God's the things that are God's. We're not going to have any man tell us what to preach. Especially some atheistic government. And they separated. They separated from the Baptist Union. Which apart, by the way, Southern Baptist Church is still a part of the Baptist World Union. Which is a part of the World Council of Churches. They separated, and guess what? You know what they got? They got revival. They got revival. Revival starts spreading through the churches. Persecution, yep. They're in jail. Persecution, yep. Yep. My daddy was in jail 18 years of 20 years of my life. I only saw him a couple times in my life. But I tell you what, I love Jesus and I'm going to preach. That's the way it was. There was revival. Because you know why? They followed the biblical law of separation and the biblical law of evangelization. You know, this is important truth. You know, I still can't figure this out. Fundamentalism that grew because of practicing separation is now giving it up. Giving it up. Instead of revival, there's decay. Instead of revival, there's the curse. They say history repeats itself. You know what? We need a new generation of moms and dads. We need a new generation of young people who believe and practice the doctrine of separation. That's what we need. And I tell you what, the fundamental churches, the big ones, are dropping over dead into worldliness and godlessness because they aren't separating from CCM music. They're not separating from it. They're tolerating it. You know what? It works for a while, so to speak. Works for a while, but doesn't produce biblical results. You know, we need a new generation that believes what the Bible says and obeys what the Bible says. And you know what? We could have revival again. You know, I still haven't figured it out. You know, one of the tenets of new evangelicalism was to get the world's approval in academia. You know, when I was in seminary, do you know the big shot new evangelical authors? Clark Pinnock, Philip Yancey, John Stott, and I could go on and name them. You're probably not old enough to know what I'm talking about. You know what? They've all apostatized. They all apostatized. You know why? Because they wanted to impress the world how smart they were. And so they read all this garbage written by these intellectuals. Jesus said, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." I still can't believe it, that we haven't figured it out, that just because the new evangelicals write the books, we're supposed to read them. I still believe, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. This might sound really off the wall, but I'd rather read the Bible 100 times than take the chance to get my brain mixed up by some of these new evangelical books. Young men, try to remember what I said. The Word of God is pure. I'm not impressed by John Piper. I'm not impressed by John MacArthur. You know what? They're smarter than me. And they write some pretty good stuff. But they don't live it. When they got rock music in their church, that means their thinking is mixed up. And that mixed up thinking, you're going to get it if you make what they write a diet of your mind. Because my Bible says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Is this doctrine important? It's very important. It's the lost doctrine of the Bible. It's one of the most important doctrines of the Bible for this day in which we live. I dare say that probably right here in this church, a church that is one of the churches that preaches the doctrine of separation, I would dare fear that there is a lack of conviction in the people of God about the truth of this doctrine and the importance of obeying it. I fear that. I fear it. I fear there's a callousness, there's a carelessness, there's a pride. I don't need to do that. I know better than God. I know better than the Bible. I'll just kind of evaluate it myself. That's a serious problem. Let Jehoshaphat be our example. That you can ruin, a preacher can ruin everything he ever gave his life for. And there are plenty of illustrations. Lee Roberson had a great seminary, had a great church. Highland Park Baptist Church. They'd have high days. They say they'd have 38,000 people in the church in different chapels. That church, within months after he died, went back to the Southern Baptist Convention that he left and separated from. And today, the church is down to less than 200. And the seminary is long gone. Didn't take long. You know why? Lee Roberson was just like Jehoshaphat. Loved the Lord. Great evangelist. Loved souls. But he didn't practice the doctrine of separation. Didn't teach it to his people. And the minute he's gone, all caved in. And there are illustrations of hundreds of churches like that all across America that once were great, great centers of revival. And you know what? There's families like that. Used to be great families. But they let down. They let down. They let down. Ah, not so bad. Hey, music, that's okay. You know? Let your standards fall. No problem. You know? Hang around the wrong crowd. You got to please the wrong crowd, you know? Got to look good in the wrong crowd. Got to be acceptable to the wrong crowd. There he goes. There goes your convictions. There goes your standards. There goes your family for generations to come. The whole family. Lack of separation. I mean, this is a big subject. This is an important subject. Disobeying the Bible and separation is not just a sin. It has huge, unbelievable, long-lasting consequences for generations to come. We need to get serious about it. And we need to, moms and dads that agree on it. We need young ladies who get it. I mean, how can you have a mama that doesn't understand separation? How can it happen? What do you have for your kids? Nothing. Right? Nothing. This is serious. We need young men that get a hold of God and say, you know what the Bible says? It? I don't care who says you can do this and you can do that and you can do fellowship with that and you can tolerate this. I don't care who says it. Better get back to the Bible and says, nope. Little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so, violating the law of separation is not just a sin. It is a sin that has unbelievably huge consequences. Now, and in your family, and in your church, for generations to come. Maybe you let down the guard. You know what? We need to shore up things once in a while. We need to shore up things in our own life. We need to shore up things in our family. And we need to think about the future. That's what we need to think about. And never happen unless we get a hold of this and say, I'm going to obey the Bible. Period. I don't care what the relatives say. I don't care what Joe Schmort says. I don't care. I don't care what Mr. So-and-so does. I'm sure that everybody thought that Jehoshaphat was the most successful king, that he was going to walk right in the footsteps of David, didn't they? Don't you think so? I think so. They were sorely disappointed. Sorely disappointed. And a sore lesson, sad lesson, about the doctrine of separation. Ecclesiastical separation needs to be done. Separation from the world needs to be done. Separation, if need it be, from Christians who are disobedient to God. Separation from sin. Reading the wrong kind of things, listening to the wrong kind of things. You know, we only think sins are like, drinking and smoking and drugs. Man, there's some other sins that are just as equal. All sin's powerful. And false teaching is powerful. New evangelicalism is a powerful disease. Powerful disease. CCM music is a powerful disease. Very few people that ever get caught in it can ever escape. It's so powerful. And we need to realize that law of separation needs to be obeyed more than ever. And remember my illustrations. In history, those who practice separation, that separation was followed by revival. Souls getting saved. Churches revived. Churches started. Families being raised for God. And that still, I believe, is still the Bible principle. That's how you raise your family for God. You can't forget it. It's got to be right at the basis there. Let's pray as we close. Lord, thank you tonight that we can speak on a very, very important subject, one that is lost, forgotten about, unpopular, ridiculed, mocked. And because of it, the testimony of God is darkened. The light is darkened. Families taken over by the world, lost their power. And Lord, it starts with our daily life. It starts with accepting what the Bible says and submitting ourselves to it, because it's the truth. Lord, work in our hearts. Work in this church, Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Lord, speak in your heart and say, you know what? I've let down. I shouldn't have. My attitude about new evangelicalism, compromise, apostasy, it's weakened. I think I can They don't have to obey the law, a separation, and made the big mistake that says it won't have consequences. I guarantee it's already having consequences in your home. Already, I guarantee it. And you say, Knight, you know, I realize the serious message. I realize it's kind of straightforward. But maybe we need some straightforward response. And we need to have some people that say, you know what, I've let down the ball. I've let it down about separation. Maybe you're Christian and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're well informed. But your attitude about new evangelicalism is very weak. And your attitude about CCM music is weak. Your attitude about these worldly things are very weak. You don't see it as a great enemy to destroy your soul. And the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight from whatever angle and says, you know what? By God's grace, I'm going to take the law of separation seriously in my life. I'm going to be careful what I fellowship with, who I fellowship with, what organizations I fellowship with, what kind of preaching I hear, what kind of organizations I am a part of. I'm not going to violate the Bible just because it's easy, makes it nice, comfortable. But you say, you know, this needs to be a very important doctrine practice in our home and in my life. And you say, the Lord is working in my life tonight about making a decision about the doctrine of separation. And you say, just by an uplifted hand, God has spoken my heart. I know it applies to me. And I need to obey what God says. And that's my decision tonight. Would you just lift up your hand wherever it might be? Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Others? Amen. Praise God. That's great. Okay. Anyone else? God's speaking to my heart. I know that my job is to obey. I preach the Bible, Holy Spirit pricked your heart, now you have to decide that you're going to obey. You say, yes, that's right. That's what God said to me. I'm going to obey. Amen. Amen. Okay, praise God. Who else? You know, sometimes it's costly. But tell you what, it's a lot more costly not to obey it. A lot more. You say, God spoke in my heart. Big decision. I don't know how big it is, but it's probably a big one. Saying I need to obey the law of separation in my life, my family. Anyone else? Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Very important truth. And Lord, important decisions have been made. Now, there are certainly more that probably could be made. But Lord, I pray that the truth that we've preached, that people go back and study their Bible, and really put this thing together. And these truths would be more than something that they just hear or have heard. But it becomes a conviction within their own heart. And Lord, we know that obedience is the first step to making the Bible clear. And I pray your blessing upon those who have made important decisions in their lives. And I pray, Lord, for young men. Lord, a new generation of young men and young ladies who will be separatists, so that they can have the power of God upon their life. And their ministry will not be destroyed when they're dead because of the results of lack of separation. Now, bless the invitation, Lord. Service isn't over. We still have this important business to do. Might you be present with us as we give this invitation for you. In Jesus' name, amen.